Hi, and welcome to part two of our show, The Universe in Other Words. Last time we talked on July 15th about these New Age words that have crept up into church lingo. We're going to finish that discussion today with my returning guest, co-host, and contributor today, Marsha Montenegro. Stay tuned. Welcome to the Parker J. Cole Show. I'm so glad you're here with me today. We're going to be talking to one of my favorite guests of all time, Marsha Montenegro from Christian Answers for the New Age. You know, I've had Marsha on this show plenty of times over the last 4 years, and she always brings with her a wealth of knowledge about New Age subtleties, Eastern philosophies, and all kinds of other developments that are happening within the church. She stands as a vanguard for you, a Christian, to understand that the New Age is very subtle, and it creeps in a very slow, subtle manner. And I think that's what makes it so dangerous, is the subtleties of New Age thinking and philosophies entering the church. And we have to be on our guard. Some of us may be listening to the sound of my voice, or rather some of you, maybe listening to the sound of my voice saying, Parker, what is the big deal? It's just words. But words have meanings, and words do have impact. And so we use words like the universe, we use words like consciousness and the shift. What are we talking about? Are we talking about the practical meaning of these words, or are we talking about philosophies and theologies associated with those words? So this is part two of our discussion. The first part of our discussion was July 15th, where we talked about consciousness, the universe, Spirit, Christ consciousness, and ancient. So we're going to continue our discussion today with Marsha Montenegro. And so without further ado, I'm going to bring Marsha on air. Marsha, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing fine, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm fine as always. Thanks for being with me on the show. I was really glad that we got so much interest in the show today, because a lot of people are just interested in what you have to say. They may not even understand what our gripe is with using these words, but hopefully at the end of the show, they understand why we are making this such a big deal. So I'm really glad to have you do that. And as always, I want you to introduce yourself so we can go straight into our topic. So go ahead, introduce yourself really quickly, and let's get started.
Okay, great. I am Marsha Montenegro, and I have a ministry, Christian Answers for the New Age, which is at ChristianAnswersForTheNewAge.org. And I was involved in the New Age for about 20 years. That's approximate, because it depends on when you want to say the beginning was.
Yeah.
And I was very involved. I was a professional astrologer. I wrote for astrological and New Age publications. I taught astrology. I was president of the Astrological Society, and even more. That's just sort of a main slice of it. But the Lord intervened in my life, and I saw who the true Christ was, the true Jesus Christ. And that completely changed my life, and of course. And it was a real transformation from what I had been seeing and believing. And so the Lord graciously opened doors for me, and that eventually led to this full-time ministry, which I do actually as a missionary. My mission board's Fellowship International Mission in Allentown, Pennsylvania. I don't know if I usually mention them, and I should, because they're very supportive of my work, and people who support me give through them. So I'm grateful to Fellowship International Mission.
You know, before we get into the topic, I got to let people know they can also keep in contact with you, because you have a newsletter you send out periodically. So go ahead, give them the opportunity to sign up for your newsletter.
Oh, yeah. If people would like, this is a newsletter / prayer, maybe a prayer letter / newsletter, because I'm required by the churches who support me to send out prayer letters, if that's what they call them, which is where you tell about what's going on and you give prayer requests. I also add to that, you know, some information on what's going on in our culture in the new age. So if people are interested in that, please inbox me on Facebook. You can send a message even if you're not a Facebook friend. Marcia Montenegro, you can find me easily by going to Jennifer's page, because she's got, you know, because I've made some comments there. And also, or you can go to Christian Answers for the New Age Facebook page, and you can message me there. So if you'd like to do that, then you can give me your email privately, and I can add you to the list.
And I'm glad we got that information out there. So for our listeners out there listening in, if you want to continue to connect with Marcia Montenegro, you can simply go to her website, exactly as it's spelled, at ChristianAnswersForTheNewAge.org. And one thing we want to talk about is the universe, in other words. And I thought our last conversation, Marcia, was very insightful, because the way we did it is that I would give my understanding of the word, and then you would give what the New Age understanding of that word is. So I want to continue that format today for this part of the show, because I think it's important for us to understand that words have power. And what I mean by power, I'm not talking some mystical thing. I'm talking about they have the power to impact your understanding of the world around you.
Right.
They impact that.
Right.
And so when we use a word, like last time we taught the universe, everything that's in it, the universe, stars, plants, everything, you know. And someone else is saying, no, it's a consciousness inside of you that you're part of the universe as well as in the universe. And all this kind of weird integration of matter and divine and creation, just all this other kind of things. Mm-hmm. And so understanding what those words mean in a New Age philosophy and Eastern philosophy, and how the Lord wants us to think about these words that he gave us so we can express ourselves and understand the world around us, I think is very important for us to have this topic. So what I'm going to do is start right off from where we left off. The next word we're going to talk about is energy. Now, when I think of the word energy, I think of it in two different ways. I kind of think of the buzz that I get when I've got my creative juices flowing and my juices are just like, oh my gosh, I feel the energy, you know. Or I think about the scientific means where, you know, an object moves and is expanding energy and stuff like that. That's what I think of when I think of energy. So what do we mean in the New Age context about energy?
Right. In the New Age, this is a very, very significant word. And it is not physical energy or either of the things you described. This is a immaterial, invisible force that permeates creation, and that we're a part of. We're all a part of energy, and we individually have levels of energy. And this is connected to spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
So the energy, on the one hand, is something we're all a part of. And sometimes God is seen as an energy in the New Age. Mm-hmm. So he's a source. He's a source of everything. He's the source of energy for everything. And it's manipulated also for healing. So there's many, many ways that energy is applied in the New Age. And so manipulation of for healing is energy healing, and you can find that in things like Reiki, healing touch, therapeutic touch, and there's a few other modalities that use different names that are energy healing. Sometimes they don't sound like energy healing, and people don't realize it, mm-hmm. especially because they will touch you while they're doing it. And what they're doing is they're either transferring energy, or they believe they're channeling energy, or they're awakening something in your body to heal whatever the problem is. So all of this stuff about the energy healing is really occultic. It goes along with occult concepts of the world, that there are forces that you can access and manipulate. Healing is a very big thing in the occult and in the New Age. I had psychics do energy healing on me. And mm-hmm. I wanted to relay a quick story about that one time. I had a friend who did this, and she came over one time to where I lived because I was going through a really rough period. And she said, well, I'll come, you know, do some energy healing on you. And so that wasn't really for a physical thing, but it was supposed to be for spiritual and emotional and mental. And she stood behind me, and I sat on a chair. And, you know, she wasn't, I don't remember if she touched me or not, but I don't think she did. So as she was standing there doing this, neither one of us were talking, and I was just sitting there with my eyes closed. I felt this very strong presence of somebody standing next to me. Now, she was behind me. It wasn't her that I was sensing. It was someone else to my right, and it was so strong and vivid. That I knew somebody was there, but I didn't say anything. When she finished, a little after that, we were talking, and she said, "You know, Marsha, I have to tell you this very interesting thing happened during the session." She said, "While I was, you know, healing you," she said, "this angel appeared to the right of you." And I was like, "Oh, wow." "Wow, Kathy, I said, I knew somebody was there. I said, I sensed a presence there." And she said, "Yes." She said, "There was an angel standing next to you." Now, of course, at the time, I was very excited about this and thought this was great. But understanding now from the biblical viewpoint what this was actually a fallen angel. And we know from 2 Corinthians 11:14, Satan can disguise himself to look like an angel of light. And so fallen angels can look like good angels, and they're especially connected to energy healing. Almost all energy healers have spirit guides, which are fallen angels. And so I find that particular experience very revealing about what's going on if you put yourself under, you know, if you submit yourself to somebody doing this, you are really not doing something good for yourself. I mean, you didn't want a fallen angel standing next to you.
You really don't. I mean, in the scheme of things, the people you'd like to have next to you, that isn't one of them. You know, I mean,
that
I'm all for support. Yeah. I'm all for support, but not that kind of support.
So, of course, this validated the whole thing to us because we saw it as a good thing. And so it makes it look like what she was doing was good. You see, that's how Satan validates these things. He makes it look good. So this whole energy, this force, everything's part of one energy. This is also part of pantheism, that everything is one and connected. And I also want to say this idea of energy goes way, way back, and you can find it in all cultures under different names. For example, in Taoism, which is an ancient Chinese religion, it's qi, C-H-I, also pronounced ki and spelled K-I or Q-I in Japan and Korea. So the qi or ki used in the context of this energy healing and other kinds of energy. This all has to do with Taoism. And you find that in a lot of alternative healing as well, the concept of qi. In Hinduism, you have prana, which is the divine breath of the universe. And prana is when you do breathing in yoga, pranayama, the idea is that you are spiritually cleansing yourself through the breathing techniques that they teach. And it's a spiritual exercise, not a physical one, even if they don't use that word, and they probably mostly don't use that word. They may just say it's a breathing exercise or something, or may not even say anything. So there's prana, and in the 1800s, in the beginning of the New Thought movement, there was vitalism. And vitalism was belief in a vital force that permeates creation. And it actually, they believed that, for example, the vital force in certain liquids or plants had healing powers, and not just healing powers, but spiritual powers. And so if you were depressed, you know, the power in this particular plant could lift you up and lift your mood. So those ideas actually became part of aromatherapy, and which gave birth to the essential oils industry. So that's why you find so much New Age in those areas, because they're based in this belief in vitalism. And vitalism was very much a part of New Thought healing. They also use something they called magnetic energy or magnetism, which they also believed was this invisible force. Now, what a lot of people do is they conflate this invisible force that's not scientifically based and it's actually a spiritual concept with real energy. So I get comments when I post warnings on this kind of thing. I get comments from people about things like, well, you know, but what about the energy of, you know, I don't know, electricity or something? Well, that is a physical, it's an organic energy that we can observe and measure. In fact, we do, otherwise we wouldn't be able to have our computers or our TV screen. I mean, we know what it is. We know how to deal with it. It's a known substance. This other energy is not, but I see a lot of people who promote this kind of thing try to make it sound like it's scientific, and that's how they do it. So that was a long thing on energy, but it's such a key thing to understand with the New Age, because I get so many questions about websites or people healing, and they're talking about energy and they're using scientific terms so that it sounds scientific, but it's not. It's pseudoscience. So it's real important to make a distinction between the spiritual energy and the actual physical energy. So that was energy. Jennifer, are you there?
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then authorshout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at authorshout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by authorshout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
Hi, friends. I'm Dr. Mike Spaulding, inviting you to listen to great Bible teaching on the Transforming Word radio show and podcast. All shows are available on iTunes and Stitcher. Search for the Transforming Word and subscribe for notification of new shows. You may also listen to every episode from my website, www.thetransformingword.com. In addition to the Transforming Word, I want to make you aware of my interview, news, and opinion show, Soaring Eagle Radio. If you're interested in engaging conversations related to a variety of topics not covered by typical news media, then check out Soaring Eagle Radio. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher, and you may listen to every episode on my website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. For more information on my ministries, please email me, pastormike@cclohio.com. Again, that's pastormike@cclohio.com. Thank you for listening to these shows, and please leave me a note when you do. God bless you today.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for a new reader to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com. or order a print issue on magcloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. We're just having a fantastic time talking to Marsha Montenegro about the universe and other words. We had talked about this first time on July 15th, and now we're talking about it again, continuing with our discussion about New Age philosophies and words and vocabulary that are creeping into the church. And Marsha, thanks again for being with me on the show. We kind of talked about before the break about energy. We talked about energy and what that meant. And I wanted to do some clarity real quick because, you know, as a writer, I often use the word energy, but I don't use it in the same way, the same context as the New Age thought. But with these type of conversations, it does give you that pause.
it makes you go, okay, maybe I shouldn't be using that word in that context. All I say is energy, like a creative energy. I say creative energy. But I'm not in any way, form, or fashion thinking, oh, I'm tapping into the divine here. I think, oh, I'm thankful to the Lord for my gift, you know what I mean, that he gave me this gift. But, you know, so it's always these type of questions. That's why we have these type of conversations and talks for our listeners out there to become aware of what the words that we're using and the impact they have on what, how we describe the world around us and our things that we do. Now, the next thing, the next we're going to talk about is just as big as energy, if not bigger, and that's meditation. Now, when I think of meditation, the only thing that really comes to mind is what I see, which is the Eastern philosophy of meditation. I see someone sitting in a cross-legged position, eyes closed, and what comes with that image is, oh, these people are very calm, they're tapping into an inner self, they're very well-balanced people, that type of thing. So meditation is the first thing that comes to mind. Now, go ahead and expand on that, because I know that's sort of what where you're going to go with this word, but go ahead and expand on that for me.
Okay, yeah, sure. Yeah, the word meditation, the way it's being used in our culture today, is the idea that you are doing some kind of technique to reduce stress, to be calm, or they may say to be centered, to tune in, et cetera. And they're all kinds of meditation. Some of them have names like transcendental meditation, which is basically based on Hinduism and Hindu beliefs, and mindfulness, which is based on Buddhism. And I have four articles on mindfulness. Or there are variations of, you know, there are different variations, there are different ways to meditate. Now, I learned how to do, I learned Hindu meditation. I learned Tibetan Buddhist meditation from a Tibetan Buddhist group. And then I did Zen meditation, which is what I ended up doing longest. That which is mindfulness. So I've done several types of meditation. Some you focus on something and you repeat a word, like a mantra, which is usually Hindu or Tibetan Buddhist. So you maybe count your out breaths, you repeat a word if your mind wanders. The idea for all this is to actually suspend your thinking. The idea is that in Eastern spirituality, your mind is part of the material world, and therefore it's a barrier to grasping the true nature of reality or grasping spiritual truth. So you have to do something in their view to get beyond the mind. You have to sort of get around it. And through meditation, that's one of the main goals of it. And so you're supposed to not be sitting there thinking or pondering. You're supposed to be either focused on one thing only, which actually can induce an altered state, or you just kind of have your mind where the thoughts are going by, but you just let them go by so that you get to a state of no thinking. Both of them achieve the same result. So you're kind of in a self-induced light hypnotic state, which can feel very peaceful. And you can feel like you're doing something very spiritual. I mean, I often felt when I did this, I felt that the boundaries between myself and the world were disappearing and that I was actually expanding and becoming part of the universe. I actually had that experience and that sensation, and it'll do that to you. And so it actually validates the beliefs behind it because you're experiencing what the teachings are that go along with this. So it's very dangerous because if you do this over time, it alters your perception of reality and it alters how you see the world and how you see yourself and how you see other people. It starts affecting your reactions to things. And so, yes, when you see these like monks meditating and they look so peaceful, that's really such a deception. Because it's not true peace. It's not true peacefulness. It's really in this sort of semi-hypnotic state, and it's going beyond thinking. And so the peacefulness, it may look peaceful, and people may feel peaceful, but it's not really peaceful. For one thing, you know, you can meditate for so long and then you have to stop and do other things. So, you know, mm-hmm. you're back to the regular life. Now, people say, oh, it helps me in my regular life because I do this twice a day and, you know, I get through the day better and everything. And certainly they may think that, and it actually may make them calmer. So they may think they're doing things more calmly, but it's altering their worldview. And it's not in a good way. It's not altering you to a worldview that is compatible with the biblical worldview. It's very individualistic, actually. It's either individualistic or it makes you feel like you're all one, like there's just one energy and you're a part of it. So it can be either way, either extreme, because you can get very self-absorbed doing it. So it depends a lot on the person doing it. But, of course, it's not focused on anything true biblically. It's not focused on the true God or on the true Jesus. And doing this kind of technique and say, well, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to focus on Jesus, is still not biblical, because in the Bible, meditation, which is a word you find in the Old Testament, if you look at the Hebrew words that are translated meditate or meditation, they mean to ponder, reflect on. They mean to think about, sometimes they mean to memorize or repeat out loud. Sometimes that's what it means. So, and usually it's repeating out loud God's word to learn it and remember it. So meditation in the Bible is using your mind actively. Even if you're pondering something, you're using your mind actively. The meditation, the Eastern meditation, and what people think is secular meditation in our culture, but it's not, mm-hmm. actually is not using the mind. So that's the whole point of it. So they're very, very different. I mean, they actually have nothing in common, and yet people see that word meditation in the Bible, and they think that what's being called meditation in our culture, they think, well, that's the same thing. So that's another confusion. That's why that word, just like energy, has these different meanings. And people.
Let me interject, you know, really quick, Marcia. Let me interject real quick because I was thinking of some very strong Christians that I know. These are, well, what I perceive as very strong Christians that I know. And they get caught up in these techniques because there's a true, sincere desire to want to get closer to the Lord. You know what I mean? There's a true, sincere desire that they want to get closer to the Lord. And what happens is that if you don't understand the subtleties of New Age thought, what happens is someone's going to take a New Age technique, a New Age philosophy, they're going to slap Christian on it, put a couple of Jesuses and God, and they're going to call it Christian. You know what I'm saying? And so that's why this kind of talk is so important. We do have a caller calling in. Caller, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes, I do. I was wondering, when you speak about meditation and you have to clear your mind and try not to think of anything else and even passing thoughts or pass by, and you said you entered into an altered state. Like, what is that? What altered state could there be? Because you're not thinking. Like, what does that look like?
Okay. Yeah, that's a good thing to clarify. So I'm glad you asked that. It's really sort of like, I call it putting your mind in neutral. And it's an actual state. The hypnotic state is an actual state, but it's not a natural state. People don't naturally go into hypnotic states. Something has to happen to put them there. It's not like daydreaming, okay? It's not the same as daydreaming or sleeping.
Okay.
It's a state really where your mind is neutral. You're not thinking. Things may be coming, passing through your mind or coming to your mind. But if you're doing the meditation the way you're taught to do it, especially in mindfulness, you are just letting them go. You're letting them pass by. So you're not thinking about them. You know, like something may come to your mind while you're sitting there. Let's say that you're worried about your daughter's grades in school. Let's say, okay, she didn't do well, and you know you have to do something about it. That may come up, and then what you're taught to do is, oh, that's just a thought. That doesn't mean anything. It's just a thought. You know, you look at these thoughts like dust particles. and they're passing by like dust particles passing by in the sun in your room. So it's just a dust particle. The whole idea in mindfulness is to divorce yourself from your thoughts so that you don't see them as yours and you don't see them as you. And eventually, if you keep doing this, that's how it'll end up. Your thoughts are just something out there that are not substantial, they're temporary, they have nothing to do with your true nature, and they're just generated because you're attached to this world and this false reality, and so you generate these thoughts and these worries. And so it sounds very strange, but this is the Buddhist worldview, and so you see it like a dust particle or a cloud, and so that's nothing. Oh, my daughter's great. Yeah, nothing. You know, that's just a thought. And you keep doing that, you actually get into a state where that's happening. It's not that your mind is completely blank, because things will come to your mind, but they just pass by. So you actually are in a state of no thinking, or as close to it as you can get.
You know, I have a Buddhist friend, and that's why I'm asking. He got his certificate and everything a couple of years ago, and put it on Instagram and show this thing, like this group of people, like some people had graduated to this place. I'm like, what? And he's a nice person, everything. You know, it's just, it was odd. And I was thinking of the robes he was wearing and everything. And when you say, and I know that he was talking about this place of meditation, and he came back with all these quotes, and I'm like, quotes? What's wrong with you? And, but I was thinking, I mean, if you're in that place of no thought, I mean, of nothing, like everything is so what is their personal reality? If you're in this place where, okay, it's not real, the world around you really isn't as real as you think it is and everything, what is the Buddhist personal reality then? Like what's supposed to be real?
Well, you're supposed to be understanding at some point the true nature of reality, which if it's conveyed in words, their belief is, you know, telling you what that is isn't going to help. You have to realize it for yourself. And meditation is one of the main ways to do that. The true nature of reality is that yourself doesn't exist, actually. Yourself. So first of all, you divorce yourself from your thoughts, and then eventually you see that yourself is not really anything either. So they don't believe in a permanent self. They think everything that we see and we think is reality is generated by an attachment to reality. And that's why we have rebirth. So we keep coming back because we're attached to this reality as real. And so the idea is to escape this reality because it's not real and it's suffering, because Buddha taught all is suffering. And it's very much like the Gnostics. The Gnostics taught that we're spirits trapped in bodies and trapped in the material world. And so it's similar. So the idea is that you have to learn these secret teachings to go back and be a spirit, you know, and not be part of the material world. It's a little similar to that. And actually, some people think Gnosticism came from Eastern religions, which is possible. So the true nature of reality is that is just Buddha nature. The true nature of reality is formlessness. Everything in this world is form. And formlessness is the true nature of reality. So my four articles on mindfulness on my website might you know, explain it. They explain it a lot more in more detail.
And looks like our caller hung up. So caller, she hung up. But thank you so much, caller, for calling in. I appreciate the dialogue. And one of the things that she asks, and I'm glad that she asked that, is that, well, if you're going to a place of no thought, then what is the reality? And one thing that you, using the example that you used, like my daughter's grades are failing, then what starts to happen, you don't gain inner peace as much as apathy. You start to gain apathy for everything around you because it doesn't matter, you know. So what, my daughter's grade is failing. It doesn't mean anything because this isn't real anyway. And so I have to, this may be a little bit off tangent, and I apologize to our listeners if we think we're going too off tangent, but one thing that you said before, Marsha, on one of the shows, I don't know if it was this show or another show you were with us, you said, my view of the end times, if you have end times thing, is that if you have a whole generation of people who fall into this category, this very popular tradition of meditation and yoga and all these other techniques that post to, quote-unquote, clear your mind and relieve stress, what starts to happen is that they start getting rid of their critical thinking skills. Because you're not thinking,
yeah,
how do I solve the problem doesn't exist because I choose for it not to exist. And so then what starts to happen, you say, if everyone starts to lose their critical thinking skills, stop utilizing stress as a way to move forward instead of getting rid of the stress and all these other kind of fringe things that we cannot get into right now, then if you have a figurehead, like, say, the Antichrist coming in, you have a whole generation of people who are just going to accept this person. And you can say it better than I can. And we don't want to go too deep into it because we want to keep on to the topic. But go ahead and just give me your thoughts about that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I see this massive wave of meditation in our culture and in the West in general. It's in the UK and Europe as well. I see it as the enemy's way to disable or damage critical thinking skills. You know, everything's already becoming more subjective anyway. And so now you have this idea that, no, we don't want to critically analyze or critically think through this. We're just going to do this technique to reduce stress so I'm not stressed out about it. And now people who advocate mindfulness will say, oh, no, well, we're actually focusing on the problem. We have you think about it. How do you feel when, okay, your husband yells at you? Think about how does that feel? But it's not dealing with the underlying issues. It's all about you, how you're feeling, how you're reacting. And if they're doing the Buddhist technique, some people may say they're doing mindfulness, and actually it may not be mindfulness, it may be something else.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're really doing mindfulness, you really are beginning to divorce yourself from your thinking mind. And that, to me, is very dangerous and makes people more open to things that aren't true.
I remember when you said this one time, you said sometimes stress is a good thing. You know, it's not,
yeah,
we're not talking about the, where you're getting sick and throwing up and stuff like that. We're not talking about the manifestations, the physical manifestation of that stress, you know, which is very true and well documented that stress can cause physical manifestations like shingles, sleeplessness, all that other kind of stuff. You know, we understand that.
Right.
But when you said critical thinking skills, and a lot of times people, and I even sometimes myself, I've been guilty of that, that sometimes I don't want to argue with you. You know, I'll say, I just don't want to argue with you. But I know how you say, you don't have to agree with me, but you at least have to have content in your conversations. You have to have content in what you're talking about. And so that's why we're talking about this. So with meditation, and for those of you listening, me and Marsha did a show on this. We did two shows. One was called The Problem with Meditation, which is something you don't hear in one sentence. And the other one was Prayer versus Meditation. So that show is available on blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media. Just search through the archives and you'll find it. And so I want to get into a couple of these other words here. We talk about energy, we talk about meditation. The third word I want to talk about is the shift. And this is actually something I heard this year. The way I perceived it, though, I don't know if the person who I talked to was perceiving it in a new age manner. I would not have known that. But I said the shift is when you go from one place to another. You know, you shift from one place and you go to another place. Something falls off. Oh, it shifted. It moved, you know. Or the way she used it, well, she said you have to have what's called a mind shift. And so when I heard her say that, actually it was on the show too. It was the first time I ever heard that terminology was on this show because, you know, I reach out to people all the time. She said mind shift. I said, oh, okay, so you got to change your mind about how you're doing things. That's how I perceived it. You know, like, oh, okay, you got to change your mind. Instead of thinking that this won't work out, you know, change your thought process and say, you know what, I can do this, I can do that. That's how I perceived it. But go ahead and tell us, how does New Ager and the Eastern philosopher advocate, how do they perceive this word?
Yeah, in this case, it's more than, it's not changing your mind. It's actually a worldwide thing called the shift.
Okay.
And now there are different ideas on it. There are variations on it. But the basic idea is that in the New Age, man is continually spiritually evolving, okay, because they die and then they come back, they're reincarnated and they're supposedly learning their lessons and, you know, on and on. So gradually a large part, or at least a significant part of the population, is spiritually evolving. And
wow.
At some point, there will be enough evolvement or enough people who are evolved that there will be a shift in consciousness in the whole planet. And a lot of people think that that will happen with the Age of Aquarius. And by the way, I do have an article on the Age of Aquarius, which could be another a topic for another show, Jennifer. I just thought of that.
We'll probably
because
do
there's
it.
A lot to say about that. Yeah, I have an article on that on my website. And so some people connect it to that. There's also the idea of a personal, you know, where you're going along and your consciousness has a shift. So it's basically a change in your perception of reality, or it could be described as an awakening. So you're being awakened to, you know, the truth, which is, of course, a new age kind of truth. But the shift generally is about this evolvement of humanity. And I think there's even a website or used to be a website that used that term. And you will see it sometimes in New Age websites and conversations. They will talk about the shift and they may think that we're going through it now. We're going through the shift now and people are becoming more evolved spiritually. And they'll point to different things that they believe supports that view. And I certainly, as an astrologer, believed in the Age of Aquarius, and I believed that, you know, we were entering the Age of Aquarius, and so I thought there would be this shift in consciousness, and people would become more spiritually evolved and more awakened spiritually. So that's kind of that's a general idea of it. Nethel may have more specifics about it, you know, because in the New Age you don't have anything that's always just one thing, you know, because New Agers don't always agree and you have so many variations that you can find different interpretations of it. But that's pretty much, generally speaking, the main idea of it.
You know, I wanted to ask you a quick question. I was watching last night, my husband was, he watches lots of YouTube videos, and so we were watching, you know, just going through it. You know how you get to the weird part of YouTube. That's the only way I could describe it, the weird part of YouTube. So we're watching these videos, and they were talking about these monks, and these monks had these incredible abilities that they can do. And one of the abilities was the ability to change their the body temperature. They were able to endure a lot of physical pain. Like they showed the one guy getting hit across the neck with a staff, and it broke. The one guy was getting hit in the nether regions and getting kicked and punched, and they were dragging things, you know, all this strange stuff, you know. And so the one thing it says, like, wow, look at these muscles. They can do, look what, and these are all years of meditation and following these techniques and practices. But I couldn't help but think as I was watching, I said, yeah, look at what they do. And this kind of detracts from what's actually going on. These people have isolated themselves from everybody. They've isolated themselves from the world. They've isolated themselves from problems. They've isolated themselves from issues. And so what happens is almost as if meditation, this shift, if we're supposed to spiritually evolve, quote unquote, you're not really evolving as much as just distancing yourselves from reality. What do you think about that?
I don't know if the Buddhist monks would go, I don't know what they would think about the shift. You know, I don't know that that's a Buddhist idea. It's more of a New Age, just a New Age idea. You know, the idea is that it's not really isolation. It's more, you know, the evolved humanity coming together. Because in the Age of Aquarius, it's all about the group and the group, actually the group over the individual. So I don't know what you described as something very different. And I don't know if you were trying to relate it to the shift, but I would.
I think so. I think so because we see these people as, look how peaceful they are. Look what they can do because they focus all their time on meditation. You know, they're meditating, doing all these, you know, strange things. Like they'll be in water and they can survive in like having the waterfall, you know, falling on their bodies and stuff like that. Or they can go to the top of a mountain and have like, you know, one day's worth of food last 2 weeks and all, you know, all this other stuff because they're able to do that. So maybe that's another topic for another time, but I actually think that they isolate themselves from reality. And I think essentially that's what you're doing. And when you isolate yourself from reality, you're just going to, you kind of drift. That's what I was thinking. But, yeah, we can talk about it for another part of the show.
Yeah, I would say that that's more connected to meditation. They meditate in order to do those things. Yeah. That wouldn't be connected to the idea of a shift.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad we're talking about that. If you want to weigh in on a topic, you can by calling in at 646-668-8485 and then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag PJC Show, with your questions and comments. We're going to take another quick short break. When we come back, we'll be talking more words that you need to know, the universe and other words.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author. Launching your book is very important. A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chat. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Online publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. Are you having fun? I'm having so much fun with this enlightening conversation, and no New Age pun intended, Marcia, when I say that. I'm just having so much fun with our topic here, you know, because of the fact that when we use these terms, we need to understand what's going on behind it. And by understanding that what I'm saying is different than what you're thinking, and what you're thinking is what I'm saying, we need to understand that. That helps us with having very cohesive, coherent talk between each other. That's very important when it comes to communication. And then we want to make sure that we aren't being disrespectful to our Lord and Savior when we use these words and put His name on them. We don't want to do that, you know. And I think that's why we have to have these type of topics. And so we're going to dive right back in. And because I'm going to let our listeners know we're under a crunch time here, and because of that, we're going to try to take several words and put them all together really quickly if we can, you know. So the next words, I'm just going to say them really quickly. I won't even go into my interpretation of those words.
Okay.
If I do, it'll be like a really quick thing. But we have body, mind, and spirit. First thing I think of is not dualism. You know, like I'm a body, I'm a mind, I'm a spirit, you know, that whole thing. And then I think of holistic. Every time I think of holistic, I think of alternative treatments for health remedies, like more natural treatments, like herbs and stuff like that. And then wellness, I think of how well you're doing. That's the only thing that comes to mind when I think of body, mind, spirit, holistic, and wellness. So go ahead, tell us what is the New Age context behind those.
Yes, these are very New Age words. They came out of the New Age, and even from alternative healing movements began in the late 1800s and continued into the early 20th century. And they just gave birth to a lot of different things that are still around.
Yeah.
Some of these techniques are still around and still popular. But the body, mind, spirit thing is also part of holistic. A lot of people will say that's what holistic means. It means the body, mind, spirit. So we have to treat you not just physically, we have to treat your mind and your spirit as well. And this can encompass the idea that your spiritual body, okay, they believe in a spiritual body, which is also called the subtle body, which would include energy in your body and then you have a field of energy outside your body that extends beyond your body, but it's invisible. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people who do, quote-unquote, holistic healing, and certainly those who do energy healing, are aware of this. They believe in this. And so they believe that you can't really be healed unless this outer invisible body is healed, the energy field. So we're back to energy there. So energy mm-hmm. plays a part in this. So body, mind, spirit is really this new age concept of how your body works. It's not based on science or biology at all. And holistic means a lot more than taking the whole person into it. It's looking at you, your body, and your mind in this very new age way, believing that your illnesses are manifestations of spiritual or emotional problems. So, you know, if you have a constant pain somewhere, then that can represent something that happened to you when you were 4 years old. Or you're holding in stress somewhere in your body, and the body, the cells remember it. And so that has to be treated in order to heal you. So the concepts are very spiritual. They are not biological. They don't have a medical or scientific basis at all. And wellness is connected to this, because wellness is really not that you're healthy. That's not what it means. Wellness mm-hmm. means you are striving all the time to achieve a state of holistic health. So spiritually, mentally, and physically, you are doing things for yourself that are beneficial to put you in this optimum place of spiritual health. Basically, it's much more spiritual than physical. Well, and wellness means that you are responsible for your pains and your illnesses. So you are responsible for your wellness. So see, it does not mean health. And when I started seeing this word being used by major hospitals, the hospital about 3 miles from me has a street that goes into it, goes up to the main buildings, and it's called Wellness Boulevard. It just kills mm-hmm. me every time I drive by. I want to get out, like, can paint over the side.
Yeah.
Anyway,
right?
So, you know, this is not what most people think these words mean. And the other danger with these words is that a lot of the new age types of alternative healing they're not based on science or medicine, are flying under the flag of these words. So some major hospitals now will have, holistic treatments or wellness. They'll have a wellness department, and they'll offer things like reflexology and even Reiki. I did some posts a few months ago on how these major hospitals, Johns Hopkins and Mayo Clinic and some other places, either have doctors advocating for Reiki or they actually offer Reiki, which is crazy, because that's like saying we have a shaman on our staff. You know, if you want a shaman to intervene in the spirit world for you, we've got one. It's allowing a lot of non-medical methods and a lot of new age concepts into the culture, because these words are being used. They've been successfully marketed to be connected to health and well-being. And so people always think they're good. Most people who see these words do not think they're negative at all. They only see them as positive. Of course, I'm the opposite. I see them as completely negative. So that's how they're getting some stuff into the schools too. That's how
horrifying.
They're getting some of the meditation into the schools. They say it's part of the holistic education. And so that word is being used. Well, they're not really sneaking it in, but people aren't aware mm-hmm. of that this
right.
is happening. Now, the other word, natural, is connected too, because natural kind of goes along with all this idea that natural is always better. Now, here's the problem, and I just read an article on this a week or two ago. There is no standard definition for natural, for example, when it comes to food or healing, because what does that mean? Everything is made of chemicals. Everything has chemicals in it. The earth has chemicals. Apples have chemicals. Your bodies have chemicals. When you eat something, no matter where it's from or what's in it, it's affecting you chemically. And it can be mm-hmm. good or bad, you know, what you're eating. But natural does not mean better. It does not mean better. Sometimes it depends on what it is. It might be better in a minor way. But people are going for this natural like it's the answer to everything. And if we just have natural stuff, then everything will be fine. And that's the problem is that word just has no real meaning. But it's being used to sell a lot of things. In fact, one of the articles I read said, because there's no real definition of this and as far as the food world goes, a lot of people are getting by selling their products and calling them natural. But actually, for example, they'll say, well, there's nothing in this that is, you know, from any thing artificial, but then it may come from animals that were fed artificial things, or it may come from plants that had pesticides sprayed on them. But then the product itself doesn't have anything, quote unquote, unnatural. So they're able to say it's natural according to their standards. Basically, it's natural means whatever somebody wants it to mean according to their own individual. So that's kind of connected to this, yet it's a little separate. But the wellness, holistic, and body, mind, spirit are definitely all connected. These are all New Age concepts. They're spiritual concepts. And they have been able to float a lot of unscientific, actually occult healing into the culture.
You know, when you talk about natural, a lot of people automatically think nature. And I cannot help but see how you made the statement that nature is not perfect and nature is not pure. And yet,
right.
I can't help but think of the past week with the hurricanes that hit Houston, that hit Florida. I can't help but think of the fires in Oregon. I can't help but think of the earthquakes, you know. And people are saying, well, it's all man-made. It's just all man-made with climate change. Whatever people's thoughts about climate change, that's not the point of the topic. What I am saying is that this is nature. This is nature acting out, if you will. This is nature causing huge damage to our planet. I mean, you know, this is not a good thing. You know, and it's not a good
right.
thing. It shows what you've made that comment about nature not being good and nature not being pure. It shows you making that statement be very true. And I can't help but think as we get ready to call our show, we talk about all these New Age concepts as if they're good things, and they've creeped into the church, and we put Jesus on top of it and put his name and signed his name to it that he has signed his name to. And so what words of caution or encouragement can give to us, our listeners out there, who may be thinking, well, I do yoga and I feel great. Oh, I meditate and I feel wonderful. I don't meditate on an image. I meditate on Jesus. And, you know, they make all kind of tweaks to this thing. So go ahead and encourage them out there with what will be your response to that.
Well, I guess what I would say is that I think we're in a time when we really, really need to be discerning because this New Age stuff is so subtle and it's being so embraced by mainstream culture. And so it does seep into the church because things from the culture often seep into the church. So we can't go by, the standard shouldn't be, is this working for me? Does it make me feel better? Does it make me feel good? The standard needs to be, what concept is this practice based on, or what concept does this word represent, and is that compatible, God's word? And, you know, if it's not, then throw it out. You know, don't do a kind of meditation technique that's really Eastern, even if you're saying, you know, the word Jesus over and over again as a mantra. I mean, that doesn't make it Christian. And, you know, don't go to a holistic healer who's using spiritual techniques that aren't based on science, that are just pseudoscience, because you are basically, it's the same as going to a psychic. It really is. It's just not as obvious. It's just not as obvious. And you're putting yourself in a position of perhaps ultimately accepting more of this. And it will undermine, you know, it will undermine your walk with the Lord and undermine your love for the Lord, because this stuff is an enemy of Christ. It's not compatible with Christ. It's an enemy of Christ. So that's kind of an encouragement / warning, I guess.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm glad you said it, because of the fact that there are people who are doing this who are Christians. And I'm not saying that their salvation is at risk or anything like that. I'm not my call. And I'm not even saying if you, those of you who are doing it, you're saying, you know what, Marsha and Parker, shut up. I don't care. And that's fine. That's totally fine. But I at least want to let you know that you need to think deeper about it. Because I know for myself, Marsha, when I met you, and I say this every time, because that's how important and impactful you were to my life, was the fact that I read your story, and I didn't have to go, well, I don't believe her. I'm going to try it for myself. No, I'm a believer. Hey, don't do that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, I don't want to, you know, deal with the type of things that will take me already away from the Lord. Because sometimes our own sinfulness, right, our own stubbornness, our own perpetuity to be, you know, disobedient takes us from the Lord. We don't need anything else to do that. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not saying that Satan is not going to attack us and the enemy is not going to do that. I'm not saying that. But, you know, us by ourselves can take ourselves away from the Lord. You know, we can just be the precipice of our own downfall. And I can say it like that in a light manner. But what I do want to do, Marsha, is to say thank you for being with us on the show. We are out of time. I want to say thank you for being with us on the show. There are several more words we are going to go over, so me and Marsha offline are going to figure out when we're going to have that show again. I'm just going to let you guys know, I want you to go to Marsha's site, ChristianAnswersForTheNewAge.org. You can contact her there on Facebook. She's more than happy to have a dialogue with you. And for my brothers and sisters out there listening and you have questions, let Marsha know. One thing I think that is so unique about your ministry, Marsha, is that you came from it, so you really see everything from a different point of view. You say, I remember doing that because I was in it. I remember doing this because I was in it. And you stay up to date with the current trends and the current cultures. And, you know, Marsha, sometimes you're not very popular for what you say. Because especially when it came to yoga, a lot of people, when I did that show about yoga, a lot of people were very upset with me. I'm like, what are you mad at me for? And they were like, well, I don't do that, and I believe in the Lord Jesus. I understand that, but you can do what you want. You know, you have that ability, but you can't sit here and say you didn't know. That's one thing I want to say. You can't say if you didn't know. Yeah. And if you're having doubts about it, if you're having issues about it, or if you're starting to experience something weird, stop doing it. I mean, quite frank with you, stop doing it. Don't try to tweak it. You know, stop doing it. And like you said, Marsha, you don't need a technique to get to the Lord Jesus. You don't need a technique. That was one of the most powerful things you said, I think, ever, was that you don't need a technique to get to Jesus. You do not.
Right.
You say, you know what, you can just pray. Matter of fact, what happened with Peter when he's about to drown? Lord, save me. You know, it was very easy to say that. And that's it. That's why these words are important for us to know. So, Marsha, once again, thank you. Thank you so much for being with us on the show. And I can't wait to have you back real soon.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, and thank you again for having me. I enjoyed it.
And if you want to get more information about Marsha, make sure you go to her website, ChristianAnswersForTheNewAge.org. This ministry is for full-time ministry, so if you want to support, make sure you donate today and help her out with what she's trying to do. To get the first part of our topic, The Universe in Other Words, go to www.blogtalkradio.com/TJC Media. Thanks so much for being with me on the show today. You have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day. And God bless.